satisfied. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live. the earth and sea. Power and majesty, praise.
Sick people all back in the house of God and fill the pews. And so thankful that you're here this morning. I want to mention, I failed to mention this during the Sunday school hour when we made our prayer request, but our missionary Andrew McClure, he's a missionary to Saipan. We're actually his sending church. His wife Evangeline has had considerable trouble with her jaw, I guess some medical issues along the way. Anyway, they ended up being having to go back to California from Saipan for her to have some surgery here this week. And I talked to Andrew, I guess, the night before last, and I told him I'd be sure and pass that information on to you guys. So y'all pray for Evangeline McClure. I want to welcome our visitors. Appreciate you being here with us this morning. Don't know if we have any very first visitors here, but if so, we are certainly glad you came this morning, and welcome all of you this morning. And so let's go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll get right back to the good singing. And Brad, will you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, the choir has a special feel-good song that just says, "Listening for the Shout."
Children shall rise.
Lord, we love you today, and God, we're so grateful for that wonderful promise that one of these days the trumpet is going to shout. The Michael, the archangel, is going to shout, and those that are saved and know you as Lord and Savior are going to be caught up to meet you in the sky. And Lord, you've told us in the Word that that is our blessed hope. It gives me hope to know that no matter what's going on around me, there's coming a better day when we'll spend all of eternity with you. And God, we're so grateful for each one that is gathered here today. God, I pray that you would speak to each heart. God, I pray that when we leave this place, we'll all be able to say, boy, it was good to be in God's house because God met with us today. God touched my heart. God, I pray that you'd be with Brother Chris as he preaches to us. Pray that our hearts would be open and receptive to what you have for us today. God, our desire is if there's one here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray that today would be that day. God, we love you. We sure do thank you for all the things that you do for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
Your only Son, no sin to hide, that you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty side and to become the Lamb of God. Your gift of love, they crucified. Scorned him as he died. The humble king they made a throne and sacrificed the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb. Wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side, to be led by
Father, we're so thankful today to be in your house. Appreciate your blessings, Lord, so much. You've given us so much to be thankful for. God, we thank you for the moisture we received this week. It was coming small amounts, but every drop of it is appreciated. We ask, Lord God, that you would bring more. And as we approach the spring, Lord God, that you just nourish this land, Lord, the farmers and the ranchers, and all are going to need it. And so, Lord, we ask you for it. We thank you for those that are here this morning, your faithful people, Lord. We thank you for the guest, the return guest, Lord, that you've brought to us. And we just ask, Father, that as we open up your word this morning, that you'll speak to our hearts. And Holy Spirit, that you would just have your way and move amongst us. Holy Spirit, that you would anoint me to communicate the message that you've given me. And I pray, Father, that at the end of the service, Lord God, that you would deal with hearts in such a way. If there's anybody here, Lord, that is in crisis, maybe somebody that's here that doesn't know you, Lord, that they would not have let the service end without them having made a decision for you. And Father, again, we love you. We appreciate your blessings, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, I'm doing something a little bit different this morning. As you know, on Sunday mornings, I seem to have trouble with my throat. It's a nervous thing, but I finally realized I think part of it is the coffee, having coffee all morning. And so I've done without my coffee this morning, so I think I'm going to speak clear. However, I'm going to be very grumpy. And so it's kind of a trade-off, but I really do think this is going to correct things, just come to that realization. So anyway, Matthew chapter 7, one of my favorite verses out of the book of Psalms is found in Psalms 37. And verse 4, it says this: delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Now, on the surface of that verse, it might make you and I think that God is kind of like a genie in a bottle, that we, as long as we rub him the right way, he's going to come out and give us all of our wishes and this sort of thing. But that isn't what the verse is implying at all. It's simply saying that if we will be happy and content with the things of the Lord, if we will delight in the way God brings things into our life, then he is going to be pleased to reward us with blessings along the way. Many things, oftentimes, that we desire, desires of our heart. The whole idea is that having the right attitude towards the things of God, the attitude that he wants us to have, and putting that puts us in a position for him to be able to give us things that we want, things that we desire. And I'm not just talking about material blessings. Oftentimes, that's what we think of when we think of things we desire. But there are other things we desire. We want spiritual blessings, emotional and physical blessings. There are a lot of things that are not tangible, things that can't be touched or seen, but that we still desire. We desire peace. We desire joy. We desire fulfillment, purpose, security. We desire stability. And so these are desires of our hearts just as much as the material things in our life that we desire. So we all need to realize that we have a lot of desires, and there's a lot of things that God wants to give us. We want to do well emotionally, physically, in our health, mentally, in our mental health, and all of these things. And all of these things, again, can be found in God. But here's what's confusing to us sometimes. We don't always receive them. There are things we desire, but we don't receive them, and we have to ask ourselves, why is this not being given to me? Why do I not have this? And it simply amounts, the answer to the question is God, in many cases, does not want us to have that. Now, we might say, well, why in the world would God not want me to have these things that are good? It doesn't make sense. And the answer to that question is God is all-knowing. He's aware of how everything affects us. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he knows how certain things will influence us. Maybe we want a particular job, say. An opening has come up and we put in our application and we want that job really bad. We think it's going to be a dream job, but maybe God knows otherwise. Maybe he knows that it would put us, subject us to certain influences that would not be good for our spiritual walk. Maybe he knows that the job would consume us and require too much of our time and energy and draw us away from our families or away from him. Maybe he knows that if we got that job and really began to excel in it, it would begin to sit on the throne of our heart instead of him. You see, it's not that the job or the position is bad. It's just that it's not best for us in our walk with him, and he knows that. So no matter how much our heart desires it, he doesn't give it to us. That's not the outcome that we're looking for, right? That's not the thing that we desire, but it's what God gave us. And so watch this. We get back to our verse, 37:4 says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of thine heart. When we accept that God does not give us that job, and we learn to be happy in spite of that. We delight ourselves in the circumstances in spite of what we wanted. Then we are putting ourselves in a position for God to bring other blessings, you see. The word delight in the Hebrew carries the idea of being flexible. And to put it literally, word for word, in strong concordance, it says this: to be soft or pliable. Part of delighting ourselves in the Lord is being flexible, being okay with whatever God decides, being okay. In other words, we accept his decision and we go with it. We don't totally understand, but we're willing to take it in stride and just keep moving forward, knowing it's his authority over our life and he is our king and he knows what's best, and so we accept it. And it's that kind of maturity and cooperation on our part that epitomizes delighting ourselves in the Lord. That shows God that we're not just fair weather followers, but we're faithful followers in spite of how things play out. And it's that sort of thing that God's looking for. And it's that sort of thing that puts us in a position for other blessings. The verse says, delight thyself. If we delight ourselves, make ourselves flexible, willing to accept whatever God sends our way, that's position. We're in a position. And he says, then he'll be giving you the desires of thine heart. Now, I've asked you to turn to Matthew. And verse 7 is where we'll begin. It says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And him that knocketh it shall be opened. Those are wonderful verses that most of us are familiar with, and we'd like to claim those verses for ourselves and be able to simply ask God for certain things and receive them. But it's more to it than that. Again, God's not a genie in a bottle. He's not a wishing well, okay? We can't just drop a coin in and tell him what we want. He's a loving Father. He's very generous, no doubt, and he wants to do great things for us, but he's also a God that wants what's best for you and I. So before we think this verse is a blank check, let's read on to the next verse. Verse 9 says, or what man is there of you who, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? And so God's just giving us a little bit of clarification there. He said he's illustrating his point by drawing our attention to our human parenting practices, how we respond to the wants and desires of our own children. When our kids ask for something good from us, we're not going to give them something bad, right? That would be cruel. That would be abusive. God's the same way. We want to provide for our kids the things that they ask for, but there are times that they ask for things that are not best for them, so we deny them those things. Now let's move on to verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Now, by referring to us, our human parents, as evil, God's in no way, form, or fashion saying that we're terrible parents. He's just simply referring to our fallibility, okay, as opposed to His perfectness, okay? But the key word in the verse is good things. If we as parents want to give good things for our children, then how much more would our Heavenly Father want to give good things to us? Infinitely more. And He does it without fallibility. He never makes a mistake with it. But the ideal of what's good for us and what God's ideal of what's good for us might not line up. And if they don't line up, guess who's wrong? We're wrong. And He's right. And we have to learn to accept that and understand that. Now, we have to understand that God considers all things. He knows all things. What might be good for you or you might not be good for me, and vice versa. He sees the big picture, different personalities, different tendencies, different strengths, different weaknesses, different stages in life. What's good in one case might not be good in another. Let me illustrate this for you. I have a pocket knife here, okay? A pocket knife can be a very good thing. If I needed to cut this string, then I would cut it with the pocket knife, and it's proved to be a very good thing. I was glad I had the pocket knife, okay? But if I chose to take this pocket knife and assault someone with it, then it becomes a bad thing, right? Some things are good in some circumstances and bad in other circumstances. It really depends upon the hands that the pocket knife is placed in. Now, let's look at it from that angle. My grandkids age from age 3 to age 12. Sutton is the youngest, he's 3. Baylor is the oldest, he's 12. Sutton is not ready for a pocket knife, okay? Sutton would probably take the pocket knife and hurt himself with it, so it wouldn't be good for him. And without question, he would take the pocket knife and hurt his sister with it, okay? He would, okay? But Baylor, on the other hand, Baylor's 12. He's a 12-year-old country boy, and he works outside, and he has chores, and he feeds and puts out hay to animals every day, and he needs to cut the strings off of hay and the twine off of hay and all of this, the netting off of hay and all of this sort of thing. And so a pocket knife would be a great help to him at the age of 12 because he's able to handle it. You see, he's ready for it, so we wouldn't have to worry about it. You see, it's about appropriateness. We get the picture. God is perfect, and in His perfect wisdom, He knows what things are appropriate for you and what things are not appropriate for you, what things are appropriate for me and what are not. And often, our level of spiritual maturity, our level of spiritual development plays a great role in this. Our motives, why we want what we want, our intentions, what we would do with what we want if we got it. All of these things are considered. And let's talk about money for a moment. That's a universal language that speaks to all of us, okay? We all desire money to a certain extent. There's no denying that. Now, I know there are people out there, I've heard it says, oh, I don't care about money, and I say pass the bread because the baloney's already been around. You desire money, okay? If you didn't, you wouldn't go to work in the morning. You desire money to a certain degree. If you didn't, you just cash your check and give it away. And you don't do that because you desire money to a certain extent. We all do, to some degree. That's why the Bible talks about money so much. It's one of the most talked about subjects in all of Scripture. Because God knows how big a role money plays in our lives. It speaks everyone's language. So as children of God, we're taught that God is going to provide for our needs, that He's not going to let us go hungry, and He will not, okay? But He wants so much more than that. In many cases in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, you find that He made His children, many of His children, to prosper and accumulate great wealth, but then in other cases, there were righteous people that didn't prosper and accumulate great wealth. We see the same thing today. We see it all throughout history. Some people prosper greatly and some do not.
in this side of heaven, we have no way of knowing the ins and outs and the whys and the why nots of that. God works his sovereign will in ways that we are probably never going to understand. But some of it, without question, some of it has to do with our positioning. Us putting ourselves in a position to be blessed. Again, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of thine heart. Let me explain to you what I mean by positioning. There's such a thing as you and I living our life and making decisions and taking care of our business in such a way that it positions us for God to be able to bless us. On the other hand, there's such a thing as you and I living our life in such a way and taking such poor care of our business that it puts us in a position that God would be violating his character if he blessed us for it. You see, I left you with a verse last week as we finished up. It's Matthew 6:23, one of my favorite memory verses. It says this: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." We see in this verse that principle that I'm telling you about: positioning and blessing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's putting yourself in a position. That's making the things of God a priority in your life, and they're of the utmost importance to you. That puts us in the position for what happens in the next half of the verse: "And all these things shall be added unto you." Position ourselves, and then God adds them to us. You see, we find it time and time again. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 says this: "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom." When we learn to give, whether it be monetarily or otherwise, giving goes way beyond dollars. It goes into our time, our energy, our concern, our just pouring our lives. We can give of our lives, okay? When we learn to give of our lives, we put ourselves in a position for blessings. And I love the language of that verse where Jesus tries to describe the blessings that will flow to us. And he says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I mean, he doesn't just say, I'm going to give you a lot. He uses all of that to explain it. He's simply saying the blessings will overflow in your life. If you and I want the blessings of God to overflow in our life, then we must put ourselves in a position for that to be the case. We must become giving people with giving hearts. Luke 6:37 says, forgive and it shall be forgiven you. Then on the other hand, Mark chapter 11, verse 26 says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. You see, it's position and blessings. If we learn to forgive other people, if we learn to overlook the faults and the violations and the offenses of other people, then we are putting ourselves in a position to be relieved of the consequences of our own sins, for God to bless us and get us past our own sins like we have blessed and allowed somebody else to get past their mistakes. Matthew 5:7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Position and blessing. You be merciful. If you and I are unmerciful, we're quick to turn our back on people that have messed up, and we fail to forgive them. We fail to have a big heart. We fail to hand out second chances, and then we're not positioning ourselves to be receiving mercy from God or otherwise. If we're quick to condemn people, we're out of position for us to be condemned when we fail. And we're going to fail. And so you see, again, this, the principle goes on and on and on about position and then blessings. So much of what comes into our life, so much of what we experience from God has to do with ourselves and what we are ready for. Different ages, different stages of life. I talk about the different maturity levels. And I'll give you this analogy, and it just came to my mind, but I think it might be helpful. There was a time in my life, okay, let me back up. We just bought another piece of land that's across from us. It just happened to open up and be presented to us and a good place to invest for our future and this sort of thing. And so it's 33 acres right across the road from us, okay? Now, there was a time in my life, especially in my 20s and early 30s, that the minute we signed that contract, I would have been out there on that land driving stakes in the ground and pulling strings and measuring and making all these plans for me building my little kingdom on this piece of land, right? I mean, I would have. There's no, the barn will go here and the arena here and we'll put a house here. And it just would have consumed me. Did you know we bought and closed that land and it was a month and a half before I ever stepped foot on it when it happened just a few months ago? I mean, I'm glad. I appreciate it. I'm glad God laid it in our laps. A good place to plan for our retirement. But I could have took or left that land easy. Made me no difference. It really made me no difference. I'm at a different stage in life. It just, those things just don't excite me anymore. They don't consume me. Now, God probably wouldn't have given me that land in my 20s and 30s. Probably would have known, hey, he can't handle it. It'll take his focus off of everything that's important. He's not ready for it. You see, that's the way this happens. So there are many examples that we can find throughout Scripture of positioning and blessing. Let me finish up with this one. There may be someone here this morning whose life is in a mess. I've been there, believe me, okay? And everybody in this auditorium has been there at some point or another. It could be any number of things. It could be broken relationship, divorce. It could be addiction, poor choices, wrong decisions. It could be financial difficulties or ruin. It could be all of the above. But the bottom line is you're here and you've bottomed out. You find yourself at the end of your rope. You have a mess on your hands and you don't know what to do with it. I want to share with you one more verse that's a wonderful promise from the Lord himself. And it's in Matthew chapter 11. He says this, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We find the same principle here in this verse that we find in all those others. Positioning and blessing. In simple terms, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He's simply saying, you guys out there who are scratching and clawing and trying everything you can to fix your lives, and you're still carrying the burden because you're getting nowhere, he's saying this, come unto me. Position yourself, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. Very simple terms. You know, you don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to dot your I's and cross your T's. You don't have to do the hokey pokey and turn yourself around. You just come unto him. It's a prayer way. Just come unto him. And he gives that promise. When you come unto him, when you position yourself, he says, then I will give you rest. We want rest, don't we? We desire rest, right? That's a desire of our hearts. We get tired of the struggle. We get tired of being at a breaking point at times. Well, there's hope and there's help out there. And we got to put ourselves in position to receive it. And we do that by simply coming unto him and saying, Jesus, I'm yours. And you're mine. If you're lost, that coming unto him would involve just simply just admitting that you're a sinner and admitting that you can't save yourself and admitting that you need Jesus to save your soul. That's what it would mean if you were lost. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saved, but it's a mess. And that happens too, believe me. And you're here and you say, wow, I find myself scratching and clawing and trying to come out of this mess. And I can't. The same thing stands for you. The only thing is you're already a Christian. You're already a child of God. He just wants you to come unto him and lay it all out before him and say, I am tired of the struggle. I'm tired of fighting it. And I want to submit myself to you, Lord. I want to put myself in a position to come out of this mess. And he will begin strategically
because we're in a position for it to happen. We realize how bad we need him. He will strategically start working out those issues with us one by one. He says in John chapter 6, verse 37, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You can come to Jesus and he's not going to turn you away. He's not going to let you down. So you belong to him and you know it, but you've simply been laboring and burden yourself with doing things your own way. You've worked yourself, as many times I have as well, into a position where he just can't come in and bless you. You're trying to do it all. You're trying to live independent of him. You're trying to make your own choices. You're trying to set your own priorities. You're trying to live your little dreams. And Jesus says, well, you're leaving me out of the equation, which puts you in a position for me to not be able to work and help you. Maybe you're here this morning and it's a time for repositioning. Maybe it's a time for you this morning, if you're lost, I can tell you, if you're lost this morning, it is the time for you to come to Jesus. I know that. You may not know it, but Jesus knows it, and I know it. If you're a lost person this morning, it's the time to come to Jesus, okay? That puts you in a position for all the blessings of life to be directed to you by him. Until then, you're out of position and will remain out of position. But if you're here and you're a child of God this morning, whatever it may be, it might be something that's out of your control, and you find yourself laboring and heavy laden, just come unto him and say, Jesus, this morning, I lay it all before you. I'm positioning myself at your feet for you to take charge, for you to take over, and for you to bring me out of this mess. I'm going to ask you to stand. We'll have a verse of invitation for the next few moments. Maybe God's spoken to you. Maybe there's something you want to deal with him at the altar about. I'm standing up here at the Bible. I'm not going to interfere with you unless you want me to. If you want me to pray with you, then please come to me and I'll be glad to do so. Okay. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.